Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it, you should go over there and start using it now.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
F*** a mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop. All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, this is an episode that I'm excited about. So I heard about these guys probably last year and before the pandemic, I believe. And it was an interesting story. And we was in communication because we had an event in Philly. And we was planning on linking up at the event. And the event had to get shut down 2 days before the event.
Crazy.
Because of Corona.
You know what's the crazy part of the story? Damon John was in town. And we were kind of using that as a barometer. And they went to see Damon John to meet him. And they were like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this, guys.
Yeah. So, but everything happens for a reason. So I got tagged in a post about a couple weeks ago and I reached out and I'm like, yo, I think now's a good time to do this podcast if you're interested. So Aaron and David Cabello, twins out of, well, grew up in many places, but currently based at right outside of Philadelphia and kind of made their name in Philadelphia. 26?
Yep.
26 years old, young entrepreneurs. So they have the company Black and Mobile. So I hate to compare one company to another company.
All good. We get it all the time.
Yeah. So it's the Uber Eats for Black businesses.
Yep.
Just like that. If I can. So they're young entrepreneurs and they've created an app where just like Uber Eats, you can or Grubhub, you can order from a restaurant. But the difference is that all of the restaurants on the app are Black owned restaurants, right?
That's correct. Well, bakeries, you know, anything Black owned that sells food, they could be on that.
So they've scaled it to right now they're in Atlanta, they're in Baltimore, and they're in Philadelphia, and they're about to come to Brooklyn, New York.
August.
Yeah.
New York, it's our turn.
They have 100 restaurants in the system. They're looking to grow it. And it's an interesting story about entrepreneurship. They had to go through Corona. They had to deal with tech issues. They had to build the platform, delivery drivers, all of that stuff. So now they have a thriving business. I believe over $500,000 in revenue last year.
Yep.
So congratulations on that.
Appreciate
Don't
that.
Sneeze at that.
Yeah. So this is right up our alley, man. So first and foremost, congratulations. Thank you for joining us.
For sure. Thank you for having us.
Appreciate you. Yeah. It's a pleasure.
This is a first. First time we had brothers on.
And twins.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh no, wait. The Dowling twins.
Oh yeah.
All right, second.
So, all right, let's jump into this. So, this is an interesting idea, right? So, how did you think about? Because a lot of times people think about like starting a business and it's something that nobody has ever done before, but that doesn't necessarily the only way to start a business. You can start a business that's already in business and just add your own little tweak to it. So that's kind of what you guys did.
Honestly, I had no idea of like saying I want to be the first to do this. I wasn't trying to do that. I was just trying to help Black people. We literally dropped out of college to go help our people. It's like whatever we can do. You know, we had an awakening in college. I teach him business. He taught me the enlightenment, you know? So he taught me and that's why we work together. So we learned that, we dropped out, and really it was to help black businesses any way we could. So we started working at a Black business. What we found is that, you know, we had to get a side job, you know, it wasn't enough. So we started delivering for Postmates and then Uber Eats and then Caviar. And while delivering for these companies, you know, we're trying to look for Black owned restaurants to support and eat. We knew about five of them, but like, there gotta be more than five Black owned restaurants in there. And then when we're on Uber Eats and stuff, we're not picking up from any Black owned restaurants. It's very few, you know, because we're in Center City. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, there gotta be a way to find more Black owned restaurants. So that's when I came up. When I'm making $1,100 in a week on 30 hours of work, part time delivering food on a bike, I'm like, if I can make this much money delivering food, how much could I make if I own this company, and how much could I bring to our community and hire my own people? So that's where the idea came from. And then I'm like, and I can find Black owned restaurants. So that's when it all sparked. And that's when I just literally began like every day researching, like I got to find more Black restaurants and I got to put this together myself. I taught myself Shopify. I designed my own website, designed my own app. Everything was to really just help connect Black people with you know, with our business. Cause that's the only way we're going
to
survive.
Yeah. I don't want to discount something that you just said. You were doing this on a bike.
Yeah.
Two wheels.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people make excuses. I don't have a car. I can't do it. Where did this level of determination come from?
Honestly, we were just excited. You can deliver food on a bike? I'm sorry. You can deliver you can deliver food on a bike. We're athletic. We're, you know, fit. We're like, that's perfect for us. Like, we'll fit right in. And it's very easy, actually, you know. And then you can upgrade to an electric bike, which I have now. So, like, it's levels to it. But
we just always had a lot of energy. Like, to this day, we're just energetic people, you know. We, like going down to Sandersville and seeing our people still working out there. Like, they still doing, like, just farming and stuff like that. So, Sandersville, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, we went down there and we met our family for the first time. And, like, just seeing them still working, like, I see that's where we get our hustle from. You know, our mom, just a hustler. You know, we have to... You know, we were raised by a single parent, so we had to learn how to go make money. You know, I got a little trouble back then, but it was all from hustling, you know, selling packs of gum, unfortunately stealing stuff, but, you know, stuff like that. But it was all because I had to get more, you know, like I wasn't content with where I was. So that's really all it was, just determination, is because we need to be in a better position in life, and we need to help our people be in a better position. That's really all it comes down to.
And really, for me personally, it was looking someone who failed in the eyes, and you don't want to feel that. You don't want to see that. I'm sorry, David.
Thanks, David. Yeah,
you don't want to see, like, just that feeling where I got to see that person. I don't want to experience that, and I don't want my son to ever see me like that either. So that was really, like, that was the changing moment for me. Like, just can't fail. You have to keep going.
So let's peel it back a little bit. I want to get the business model, but before that, so you had an awakening in college.
Yeah.
So, all right, break this down. How old were you, and what made you really want to dive into, you know, Black empowerment?
So, I first get to college. I'm just...
What college?
Shippensburg University.
Okay.
I'm just kind of there because he convinced me to come. I really didn't want to go. But, you know, I'm there. I'm in geography class. I really love geography, maps, and just learning about the world. And for the first time in my life, I heard something positive about Africa. The way this white woman was just describing, just there's so much resources. There's so much positive energy. It's the way she described it. It's just the littlest thing she said to me sparked my entire body. Like, I never forget the moment. I'm just sitting there like, I can't believe this. I felt robbed. I felt cheated. That I've been to all these schools in my life and nobody taught me this. My mom, no one, just like, it was hidden from me. So ever since that day, I went to my room. I just researched everything. I listened to new music. I just read books. I did everything I could to change myself. Because I felt like I was just so behind.
And that energy that he had, like, I wasn't like that. I was partying, I was drinking. I'm like, bro, what are you talking about,
my brother.
Yeah, I'm not on that. But it eventually got to me because I've been a troubled kid my whole life. Like, in and out of schools, getting expelled, held back, almost got kicked out of college. So when I'm seeing him, like, I almost got kicked out of college this semester, I'm about to go over here with him and see what he talk about. So that's when it all started, where he was teaching me all this stuff. I'm like, I never knew about this. You know, like, same thing. Our mom never taught us, our grandma, like, no one ever taught us any of this stuff about black empowerment. Like, we knew, of course, everyone knows about racism, but it's more than racism and slavery. Like, we contribute to so much more. So learning about all that, that's what really sparked the enlightenment in me. And we just kind of, from there, just changed ourselves, you know, just from everything, from the food we want to eat to the music, mm-hmm. to just respecting women more. I'm not saying we disrespected women, but you start to love women more and respecting your mom more about what they went through, and just everything changed about it.
Yeah. You know? So part of the enlightenment is that you said, I'm out of here. We're leaving school.
The day after Trump elected, we left the next day. We were done.
Yeah. We knew he was going to win, but it was just more like, we see what this country is. So we just got to go do what we have to do for our people. And you need to tell them about the National Guard. Tell them what happened on the National Guard.
Yeah, I was going to the National Guard, and I was just trying to find money to, you know, support myself. And I just knew there was something not right about it, but I had to hear it from another black man. And I went to this like community meeting, and he was in the National Guard. He was saying, look, bro, leave today. Like, don't wait. And I get back. I write, you know, there was some instances that happened, you know, they're spitting at me. They're, you know, just, they're very rude there, but you know, they have to train you with that. But I had to write this paper to leave. And I wrote this huge paper and just explained why I wanted to leave, why I don't want to do this, why I don't want to fight for you guys, you know, all that stuff. And he comes back, he slams the paper, he says, Black Lives Matter shit is fucking stupid. You're dumb, you're worthless, you're never going to be anything, you're going to end up just like the rest of them. And from that point, I just shut up and just sat there and just let him just go on his rant of how you lost, just give up, it's done. So ever since that day, it was just like, it was a little more of a, like a push to keep going.
Who was this, like the drill sergeant?
He was, yeah, drill sergeant.
So all right. So then, from there, you decide, all right, you're going full-fledged with the black empowerment, and you're working for, you take Caviar, right?
Yes. Yeah,
so which is like Uber Eats.
Exactly. So we started with Postmates, Uber, then Caviar, yeah.
And so while you're working, you have an epiphany that, why don't you just start your own business?
Exactly.
So what's the first steps that you did to start Black & Mobile?
I designed my own website on Shopify. So that was the first step, because I already knew how to do that from like the last 6 months. So I designed that. And then it was really researching the market. It took a lot of hours to like research everything that they're doing, and then coming to see like, oh, there's no black owned food delivery services on that level. So it was first that, and then really just starting. Like, that's the major thing where, you know, for a couple months, I'm like, how are we going to do this? Trying to get restaurants signed up. No one wanted to sign up in Philly. And a big restaurant out there, she signed up, and everything changed from there. You know, people knew about us, yeah. You know, but it was hard to get started, you know?
Getting restaurants signed up, what's the process?
Process is really just, honestly, go in there and ask if they want to sign up. Let's say they want to sign up. You know, we use social media, email, but let's say they want to sign up. They really just create an application, fill out their menu, download the restaurant app so they can accept and decline orders, and that's it.
So you didn't actually go in there with the application saying, this is our business, or is that something that you created before you went? Like, hey, we have this business. Would you be interested? How did it work?
It was kind of both. You know, it was kind of organic and natural, where I was just going there and see if they want to partner with us. You know, we weren't as high tech as we are now. You know, then we didn't have OnFleet. We didn't have anything. We were just doing deliveries, just get the address and the phone number and just type it in our GPS and just go there.
Call so the restaurant orders.
It eventually all just got like on an application.
And it's just you two on the bike.
Yeah.
We just ran the whole city.
We ran the whole year. Just on the bike.
So right now you have an app.
Yeah, we have a customer app and a restaurant app.
So before, you didn't have an app when you first started?
Oh, no. We had just a website.
So people would go to the website?
Go to the website, order, and then Shopify ring me. Then I'll just click the GPS and just go there and call them.
I have to call every order.
Shopify and the people that I was using eventually on the app. Because before we had the app, let's just go with Shopify. They said, this is what you're trying to do on Shopify is not really possible.
Yeah.
So I've had people on Shopify tell me this. And then when I got on the app, that was through Shopify, they said, what you're trying to do is not really possible. So I've been hearing this the whole time, like, oh, you can't do this on Shopify. But I did it, and I sold $500,000 worth of food on it. So.
Was there a limitation? Like, was there a range of how far you could go? Obviously, y'all on a bike, so how did that work?
We did 5 miles at first. So we were on, remember, it wasn't just average. We're not average, you know, on a bike. We're going 25, 30 miles per hour
That's not average.
So we're going fast on there. Then we got the electric bike, because we're going 10 hours a day on a bike. So, you know, we're going to give some credit to the electric bike, but, you know, that's just... This is what we have to do on an electric bike. It's just what we have to do. Rain, snow, anything.
On a bike 10 hours a day?
10 hours a day, for sure.
When did you get the app?
October 2019. Yeah, October. So I developed the app through Shopify.
Yeah, so the business was founded. So it was created in 2017.
We thought about it.
Thought about it
in 2019. It took me 2 years to put it together.
Founded in 2019 in February. Black
yep.
History Month.
Black History Month, exactly.
Very significant.
Yep, yes. Yep.
Sounds like this might have been your idea.
Yeah. No, it was actually my idea. But first year, we only did 25,000 in sales. That's it. Second year, we did 500,000. So that's a huge, like, you know, that's a huge jump there. So, of course, we're trying to grow on that. But it all just came from, of course, an app, developing my own app through Shopify, but just really believing in myself. I didn't believe in myself in the beginning. I really didn't. I'm like, there's no way we're going to do this. Like we have no drivers, just me and him. There's no one signing up. I didn't believe I could do it. Like I said, Wallo, he helped me believe in myself. A lot of people and God, really, because every time I felt like giving up, I'm done. I give up. I'm done with this. And then God blessed me with something else. Whereas it's a restaurant lined or something.
Every always time. Lined It'd up, be the so. Worst situation from funds or just the system. And then it just perfectly
always worked
up.
Out. Man.
And that was just a confirmation. What are you going to quit for? Why would you quit?
So right now you still have the app through Shopify or you have
a we have a new app. So we had a... we still have the same, you know, app and template, I guess, with our old team, but we hired a black-owned tech company and, you know, they...
Developed their own app.
They developed our first app and then we hired another company just a couple months ago and then they kind of improved on that. So now we have a black-owned tech company.
How much did it cost you to build the app?
Close to 100,000. Yeah, okay. Close to, I don't know exact numbers because, you know, we went from different teams. So, you know, it cost a little more there, but I would say a little over 100,000.
So everything's still not done. We still have a lot
of work. Yeah, we still got a lot of work.
So you start with the website. Then you go from Shopify's app.
Yep.
And then you go to your own app.
It's our own app, yep.
Exactly.
And is that where now you get the drivers or drivers, is that coming later?
Well, drivers, so we started getting drivers, I would say when we opened up the app in 2019, like we had a few drivers then, but once you've seen orders were like going from, 4,000 a month to like 20,000, like a month in sales, all right, we kind of got to get some drivers. So we just started literally going on Instagram saying we're hiring people. And people started applying. Literally, it was just organic. We didn't use Indeed. I just found out about Indeed, 8 months ago that I could do it on there. So we just were on the gram, like we're hiring people. Here's how much you'll get paid. And that was it.
Ernest, what's going on? Traditional universities are outdated and don't teach you how to become an entrepreneur. They just teach you how to become an employee.
You go to school for 4 years and you leave with nothing but debt. But here at EYL University, our curriculum is much different.
Our university teaches you real-world skills that you can use to gain financial freedom right away. In traditional universities, you learn from professors that have never did what they teach, and they teach you how to become an employee. At our university, we use instructors that are currently successful in a specific field that they teach, and they teach you how to become an entrepreneur.
For a limited time only, you can join EYL University for 25% off of the annual membership. Learn about stocks, credit, real estate, crypto, and more. Go to EYLUniversity.com right now and sign up to become an earner.
Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
So, and then you was explaining to me that a lot of the drivers work for other companies as well, right?
I mean, we would assume so. We don't know, but I mean, some of them do.
I know for sure some, but a lot of them dedicated their time to us because they believed in it too. A lot of the drivers that work for us, they actually like believe in the vision. Most of the people who work, they want to help us and want to help the black businesses.
So, all right. So what's the process of signing up a restaurant? You go, you get them on the app.
It's really just an application. Once they fill out the application, whether we go in person, whether we DM them, whether we email them, whether they heard it from a friend, once they fill out the application, they have to schedule a call with me. I go over the service with every single last restaurant owner, and then they fill out their menu, they download the app, and they can accept orders.
And then, so you guys cut it 20%?
20%, yep.
So if somebody orders $100 worth of food from Joe Blow's Fish Shack, you get 20, they get 80.
They keep 80, correct.
How much did the driver get?
Well, it's not out of that cut. So the customer pays a delivery fee. So let's say, you know, just out of our $100 just for the food, and let's say it's like a $6 delivery fee or something like that. Mm-hmm. They keep all that.
The $6 goes to the
driver. They just keep everything, the tip, they keep all that.
So that was one of the sales points, right? I read that was like $20 an hour plus 100% of your tips.
For sure.
Which is that's not standard in that industry.
I mean, they say it, but I mean, we've heard some scandals of, you know, I ain't gonna say no company names, but we've heard some scandals of them taking tips. So we just make sure it's transparent where you keep 100% of your tips, you can get cash tips. Because before we were only doing, you can only tip the driver in cash. That way, you know, we can't even collect tips for you. You can only get it in cash. So that was a transparent way, but you know, we have to upgrade the system where you can tip through your credit card or something like that. But we make sure it's as transparent as possible. The tips are for you. We don't take any tips.
So you said at first it was hard to get restaurants. What was the hurdle? hard to date.
They didn't know us.
They didn't know us. We're young. You know, we don't really have an app. You know, at first we didn't even have an app, so it was like, we're
going against Uber Eats, yeah. Grubhub, DoorDash, Postmates, Caviar. This is a list of them.
All white or Asian owned. Literally, there's no black owned companies. So they're like, I'm gonna be honest here. You know, some black people don't want to work with black people. It's that simple. Like, some people don't think they're black. Some people don't want to work with black people. We got a bad stereotype, and that's just really what it is. We only work and we only go for the people and work with the people that want to work with us. We ain't gonna get everyone yet. You know, we have to prove ourselves. I remember there was a restaurant, and he would not sign up. We would go to his business. We would support his business. I mean, almost every day we would eat there. Never signed up. I gave up. I'm like, you know what? We're gonna just go to other restaurants and we're gonna just keep going. Mm-hmm. Literally, I'm walking down the street. And I wasn't even going to talk to him. I was just like, you know, what's up, man? How you doing? And just keep pushing. He said, you're still doing Black and Mobile? I'm like, yeah. He said, all right, I'm signing up now. So some people just want to see that you're going to keep going. And that was it. We're going to keep going whether you sign up or not.
Is that part of the marketing strategy? Like, I'm going to go to these restaurants, patron there, and if they see me,
oh, no. Some, for me personally, some of them, if there's specific restaurants that I like, but really just go in there and just, you know, try to talk to them and show them it's a good business there. That's really what we just try to do.
No, that's not what he's saying is.
No, do we try to patronize them to, like,
oh, just for them to get on? Oh, yeah.
Some of them, there's some restaurants I've done that with. Like, yeah, I like this place. I'm going to try to show face.
Most of the time I'm just going there to eat, honestly. I love food anyway, so I'm just going there to try the food, and then, you know, if I really like it, of course, you know, I'll try it then, but I just go there.
That's one of the best parts about the business is going to try new foods, new cities. Yeah. I think that satisfies me the most.
So what was the marketing plan to get your name out there and to make people aware that you actually have a company that does this?
I really wasn't a plan. I can honestly say that I had to teach myself business as well. So it wasn't a plan like, oh, let's just do this and that. It was more of like, we just kind of did what we had to do. And like I said, we had a restaurant and they were very popular in Philadelphia and they kind of did the marketing for us.
What's the name of the restaurant?
Country Cooking. So she don't really like me saying her name, okay. But you know, Country Cooking, she's the one who kind of put us on in Philly. And from there, it was like people just kind of heard about it. So it wasn't like me marketing and trying to get known. We were just doing the work. And people seeing that we were doing the work, you know, the new channels came, and every time we went to a new city, so it was kind of just organic word of mouth. Like, you should, like, someone tagged y'all on a post, they've been tagging y'all for a while, you know what I mean? That's just literally how it happened, where people would just tag, oh, you know, yeah, check out this company, and that's just kind of how it was.
But then social media, talk about that, because how many Instagram followers do you have right now?
100,000.
So what was how did you grow the social media following?
Like I said, it was a lot of word of mouth, but a lot of news articles, a lot of news channels. Like, they kind of picked up the story, like People Magazine, for example, they picked it up off of another magazine, and I never even talked to them. So it was really just like the word spreading, where it was like, we get on the Shade Room, and then the Shade Room spreads, and Ray J calls me, and then like stuff like that, where it's like people hear about you, and then it just kind of spreads from there.
So you got two of y'all together, obviously. So this is sort of a family business, but is everybody, are there more people a part of this team?
Yeah, so we have our mom and we have Alicia. She's a business partner as well. So it's just us four.
Yeah, it's four right now.
So y'all started a business in 2019.
Yep, for
sure. 2020 was a year like we've never seen before. I want to talk about the impact that COVID had on your business, because I know it changed a lot of businesses, but some for the negative and obviously some for the positive. I think y'all were on the positive end. You want to talk about that?
We were on both sides.
When COVID first happened and they announced that it was delivery only, we just were so happy because we knew this was our shot. Oh, I'm sorry. This was our chance to just show the business that we're partnered with that we're going to execute. And then we got a lot of new businesses that just kind of had no other option. So our sales just increased, like they tripled. Like within the first 3 months, they just tripled. And then finding those drivers, we had drivers for a period of time, but that was also the problem because we have such a demand. And then we're calling orders in at a period of time.
We had to literally
shut down for like a few days because we just couldn't do it. It was too many orders. I'm calling every order, and we had to find an alternative, a new system that will automate everything to take less stress.
And then like, it wasn't just COVID though. Like, we've had pros was, all right, we're making more money. But the negative stuff is restaurants are closing. So we got restaurants closing. We got drivers don't want to work. We got customers who don't want to order. Exactly. It was a lot of things where we honestly sold actually $1 million in sales, but a lot of it was like refunds and people and then tech issues. Like, we refunded a lot of money. So it was like pros and cons of it. And then even with, I'm not going to say because of the Black Lives Matter movement, but let's just say because of, when we get murdered, our people and other people like to support black business more. And that's not how it should be. We should be supporting right now while we're alive, what we're doing, like not when people, not when bad things happen. So again, unfortunately, that also led to more sales and to other people supporting us. I don't like it. Yeah. It really makes me upset that people, it takes for us to die or get arrested or something on video to happen for us to support. You know what I mean? I'm not saying all black people. I'm not saying all white people. I'm just saying we see more support when that happened, and I don't like that.
There was more of an awareness and more of a concentrated
more people downloading
effort.
The app and sharing. Right. It was like, I ain't never seen you order before, and you knew about us. So it was like, that made me upset. But like I said, there's pros and cons to both of it. But COVID definitely has been more of a blessing. We only try to focus on the positive stuff. So we went through our challenges, but COVID definitely helped our business and just getting us, you know, more known.
It definitely made us known. It like put us on the map.
Yeah,
it put us on the map.
So you said that you had to switch from calling in order. What do you mean calling in orders? Like, what's, talk about that.
So, this was my job. So order comes in. I have to, you know, read the order. I have to call the restaurant, read the entire order to the restaurant, the size, you know, just all the details to it. And then, for instance, say if something happens with the order, they don't have it. I got to call the customer. I got to fix it. And then I got to call the restaurant back. So I'm calling, doing all these calls.
And we're getting 20 orders in 1 minute. And he's trying to call all these orders in. Then I'm coming in to help. And then we're doing deliveries. And then on top of that, like, sometimes, you know, like with the customers, like you said, something can happen. Like, it would just be so much. We're calling in orders in and 20 orders a minute. It was just like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to keep calling these orders?
Where y'all running the business out of?
Anywhere. I could be on the beach in Hawaii.
I could be laying down.
Yeah, y'all just like on the cell phone.
Everything's on Shopify. Okay.
So, all right. So then what did you switch to not have to call orders in anymore?
Well, so, and was it like June or July?
Yeah, July.
June,
yeah.
So we kind of shut down the system for a little bit, tried to get things right. We had a partnership that we were going to, you know, pursue. Things didn't work out too well, but they got the basics for us.
Yeah,
they
the development the team, work. Basically, they started the process. Honestly, from there, it really went downhill for us. We were making like a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And then soon as we were about to expand to Atlanta, literally 10 hours before we went to Atlanta, they said, we need more time. The system's not going to be done. More time led to 3 months of the system not working correctly and stuff like that. So although we had the feature where it could, like we don't have to call orders. And so now how it works is, let's say order comes in, restaurant gets alerted and the customer gets alerted. Restaurant accepts it and now we don't have to call the order in. So now everything goes through there, but it was a process to get there. You know,
so electronically they get notified.
Exactly.
And so that way you're not calling the order in.
That's what we want to get to. Well, we don't gotta touch anything and everything.
They accept the order, they send it, they mark it ready, and they send the driver.
So you said that took 3 months to get that app ready?
Unfortunately.
The technology.
Yeah. And it wasn't even working right even after that. So that's why we eventually had to fire that team, bring in a new team, and now everything's working perfectly fine. But you know, we lost a little over $500,000 because
that was
the
biggest
from last July to now.
That was the biggest challenge in business that we went through.
Yeah, but talk about that, losing $500,000.
We still trying to cope with that right now. Yeah, man. We still trying to, because like, just imagine everything going well. You're seeing everything go well. You're making a bunch of money. Like, I'm able to pay him, I'm able to pay everybody, got new employees, and then everything just shuts down. We got drivers quitting because there's no more orders because people can't even order. Like, I can see like a couple of tech issues, but people can't even order. We can't even take payments. So it was like losing all that money, it definitely hurt. But you know, how we made a comeback, honestly, was just, you know, we went through that, but Pepsi came in, Pepsi helped us. We got a partnership with them. Their whole goal is to bring in $100 million into black-owned restaurants. So we're kind of like the perfect partner for them. We only deliver for black-owned restaurants. You know, we can help them get access to that. So that kind of helped us a lot.
So Pepsi steps in after the George Floyd and all the social injustice.
Yeah, that was around December, January of 2021.
Because a lot of times we hear these companies saying that they're going to make these initiatives happen, but this is y'all a living testament that it actually did.
Oh no, seriously, I'm gonna be transparent. Like, it changed my perspective on like just like corporations a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm not saying all of them are good. I'm not saying, you know, it's not a job. I don't know. I'm just, from what they've showed me, I have a different perspective on how corporations are, what other businesses. That's
if you have the right movement and the right goals.
Yeah, it's just different.
So, all right. So talk about the expansion. Atlanta was the first city that you moved into?
Detroit was actually, we expanded there in March, two weeks before COVID. And then we actually had to close down because it was just, we couldn't, it was nothing going on. Everyone shut down. We went from like 28 restaurants to like 5. Literally because of COVID. So Detroit was first, and then we came back to Detroit, and then we went to Atlanta in July, and then we went to Baltimore in November.
So how did that work as far as going to the first? Detroit didn't work. Atlanta did work?
Atlanta was working, but remember, everything went bad because of the tech system. So Atlanta, we never really got to see the in the beginning. We had so many like celebrities and NFL players trying to support us, and no one could support us. So we took a, that's what I'm saying. We took a, took a loss there. Okay. Baltimore, we took a loss there because you know the system was kind of just starting to get back working.
This is the thing. This is what it wasn't a loss all the way because it was like a test trial. It was like a way for us to just get into the market, see the restaurants that are interested, and just learn. And then we had the challenges, but it's
but 2021 been a lot better, you know, like with the system.
We're gonna bounce back much stronger. We'll be able to go and rekindle the partnerships with these restaurants.
When you when you're moving to a different city, because I know you said that you went to Atlanta, you went to Detroit. What are the things from a logistics standpoint are you trying to find to make sure that it can work? Obviously, you need black-owned restaurants, but are there other things that you're looking for when you move to a city?
Honestly, I would say, of course, we need to see people that want to order, you know, like on our social media page, you know, we kind of see the demand there, like, well, who's, you know, where's the apps coming from, the downloads coming from, you know, who wants to support us? So that's always a way, but honestly, I'm confident that wherever city we go to is going to work because people all over want us out there, you know? So logistically, you know, of course we really restaurants is the only thing that matters. Like once you get the restaurants on board, people will support and drivers. That's been that's before even restaurants, because we can get all the orders we want, we can get all the restaurants signed up, but that's we have no drivers, and you know, that's why number one was fixing the driver situation, and then now we'll be able to expand to, you know, any city we want
to. What I love is that you guys have a niche, right? Like when we live out here in White Plains, and it's like if I want to order West Indian food, I got no chance.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, it's kind of in the middle of like nowhere. I'm like,
don't give up the GPS.
West Indian restaurant right down the street. What's talking about?
It's like one. And if I don't do that, it's Golden Crust. But sometimes, like, if I want, like, Kingston Bakery, I can't. They're not going to be on Uber Eats, right? If I want to have Rocketone or something like that, it's not going to be on Grubhub. So the fact that y'all are focusing on these people, I think it's incredible.
And we go 10 miles. So, you know, even with people, like, within 5 miles, I'm not going to say all the services, but a lot of them only do 5-6 miles. So we do 10 miles to make sure that, well, you know, it's going to be a little more expensive, but we're going to try to get it to you. You know, we're going to try to get the restaurants even more customers. Because if you're like 8 miles away, you can't get to it. When you hit 10 miles, 15 miles, anyone can really support you.
Exactly. So how many restaurants do you try to have in a city? Like, what's your goal to have in a city to be, like, successful in that city?
I would say just to be successful in the city, I would say 30. If we get 30, 40 restaurants in there, and then, honestly, we don't have to do that many orders per month. Like, just at 2,500 orders a month, we can be making like 20,000 profit a month. You know what I mean? So it ain't like
what's the profit?
20,000 profit a month. Okay. So it ain't like it's really all about the order totals. Like we can have 100 restaurants in and they all can do an order. That's not that good. It's all about the order totals. The more orders we do, the better. That's really all it is.
So was there ever any hesitation as far as pigeonholing yourself to just black owned restaurants and not having it for every single restaurant?
Not at all. Like for like, we heard that so many times, money is green and don't limit yourself, but that's not what we're doing it for. If you want to go support someone else, there's other food delivery services out there. We're just focusing on black-owned restaurants because we literally make everything. And there's a lot of this. I could probably put y'all on to some black-owned restaurants in your own city. Like that's a like me as a 26-year-old, I should be able to, even as a man, a black man, I should be able to know where the restaurants are. We know where everyone else's businesses are, but we don't know where ours are, all of them. So again, there's some people that do, but I don't really care about, you know, well, this is what I want to eat tonight. This is just not the service for you. We black people make everything. If you can't find something on here, you know, I'm sorry about that, you know.
There's other delivery options, like for the Chinese that they use. They only deliver for Chinese restaurants.
There's literally a service out there right now and a one for Puerto Rican people where they only deliver for Hispanic restaurants. So we're just doing the same thing.
That's what's up.
So on fleet.
I love On Fleet.
Change your business.
I love
On Fleet. Can you explain to the audience what that is and how y'all benefit from using it?
So On Fleet is just amazing. We met them at a delivery conference, and I literally was almost in tears when I found out about it because I was set on making my own On Fleet. I'm like, this is what we need. I'm going to make my own On Fleet. And I found out about them.
What is On Fleet?
Oh, yeah, On Fleet. On Fleet is a dispatch system. So what it does is it provides you a driver app. It'll let you just really see the location of all your orders, like whether you're doing on-demand, whether you're doing weed delivery. You can do anything on there, but it really lets you see the map, make a route for the drivers, and everything is organized. So it really just like a optimization system and a delivery solution, you know, for your business if you're doing a lot of deliveries. So it's just been the biggest blessing for our business, literally, because we were kind of unorganized then. You know, we didn't have a driver app. We didn't have any dispatch. Everything was going through Shopify. So that just made everything a lot more simpler. And you know, we of course we're gonna continue to use OnFleet until we build our own custom, you know, solution. But awfully, I recommend that to anyone that's using anything with delivery. And we need anything.
The customer's transparency. They can like they feel more safe using that because like there's text messages tracking system. Like it just makes them feel more comfortable to use your service.
Dope. So 55% of your restaurants are women.
Yeah. A lot. Black women support us more than anything. Not even just the restaurants, just black women in general. Yeah. They just support us more. Again, no shade to black men or anybody else, but black women, they really support us.
That's almost like a 50-50 split between, it's not really a bad breakdown, but it's like most restaurants are in general are owned by men, but the majority of your restaurants are owned by women.
Yep.
Why is that? Is that just, do more black women own restaurants than black men in your case study?
I don't know. Because again, there's some restaurants where it's like, you know, they're joint, you know, co-founders. So, you know, you could say they're men and women. So again, from what I've seen and what I've asked around of who was a black woman owned, some of them were co-founders with, with their husband and stuff like that. But from what I've seen from who we partner with, most of them were black women.
So when I'm putting in my application, I'm sure there's been times when you guys have denied applications. Or said, you know what, this isn't a restaurant that fits our business. Yeah. What are the things that I have to have if I'm a restaurateur and I'm trying to be on Black and
Mobile? Brick and mortar. Okay. You have to have a brick and mortar. You can't be out of your apartment or anywhere else. You have to be at a location that's safe for people to come pick up food. Mm-hmm. That's number one.
And, you know, of course, you got to claim that you're Black. Again, because you could be Hispanic, you could be Black, you could be whatever. But if you claim that you're Black,
how do you determine if somebody's Black
or not? Well, we let them determine that. I can't determine if you're black or not. That's not my job. If you say you're black, you're black. Okay. If you claim that you're black.
How do you, because it could be a white restaurant that says.
Oh, no. We meet the restaurants and, you know.
You meet the owner?
Yeah, we meet the owners. We meet with them. You know, we go there. We put the sticker up. You know, we take pictures with them. So we always meet them. But honestly, most of the time, if they're white, they're just DM like, can I sign up? I'm white. I'm Asian. So they're just kind of like, well, can I do this? Black people, you know, they usually just kind of sign up because, you know, of course, you know, they know they're black. But if they're not black, they usually ask me if they can sign up for us. So that's usually how I'm able
to. And you're telling them, no, you can't.
Unfortunately, I say at this time.
Yeah. But this is an interesting question. Black is a very complicated word.
Yeah.
Because who's really black? It can be taken a lot of different terms. So is this black African-American or is it black just skin color, which would include Caribbean, African,
Latin,
Afro-Latino.
It includes everyone. If you claim that you're black, again, we partner with mostly African American business, but of course we're deliver for Jamaican owned business and African restaurants. I mean, if you know the main, you know the goal of what we're trying to do, and that's circulate the dollar, and it's for the black community. Yeah.
So I got.
If your skin is brown or black, or like
light skin, it doesn't matter.
What I'm saying is that. Because nationality is a big thing, especially here and like in New York. Like, it's a very this is a complicated conversation. But you got Dominican, Dominicans. Shout out to all of my Dominicans uptown.
Some.
It's just this what it is. We gotta be honest. They'll be darker than Akon.
Yeah.
Oh, but they won't say that they're black because they say that they're Latino.
That's what I mean by that. If you could be the blackest person, but if you say you're not black, then you're not black. Like it's up to you to make. I'm not judging on who's black enough and who's not. I don't care. You could be light skinned and be blacker than, in the mind. You could be it's have better intentions it's for black people than someone who's dark skinned. So it doesn't matter to me. It's more about your mindset. And if you claim that you're black and you want to work with black people, then you're good by me.
All right. So these are the qualifications. So I gotta have a brick and mortar
for sure.
Yeah. I gotta identify as black. Is there anything else?
No, that's really.
So we're not doing ghost kitchens, right?
No, we do ghost kitchens.
You just gotta have a kitchen. Industrial kitchen.
Exactly, where you're actually certified and stuff like that. We can't pick up from your home. We can't pick up from anywhere. Like a pop up. It has to be where it's somewhere legit, where you know other people are operating out of as well.
So it could be not a restaurant, but a kitchen.
Yeah, for sure. A bar. Like the bar could be selling his drinks, and we could go in there and pick up the food.
Because the ghost kitchen, shout out to Nacho. Y'all know him, Nacho Benga.
That's
our guy. Baltimore. So. Is he signed up with your thing?
Not yet.
We gotta make that call. You know, Nacho's favorite line is, you know what it is? Black support better than child support.
I know, he did say that.
It's a banger for real.
He's been saying a lot of stuff. So I'm sitting there thinking, hold on. Let me think about that.
We're gonna make a call.
Yeah. But so he's the one that really put us on the ghost kitchens. And it's one of these things that really took off during the pandemic because a lot of times people don't have enough resources to have their full restaurant.
Oh yeah,
exactly. But you know, you can have an industrial kitchen.
Ghost Kitchen's huge. It's huge. They're very convenient too. They're very easy. Like the we have a few Ghost Kitchen partnerships that we have.
Look, so just watch out because we're gonna do something like that. We're gonna do it for black restaurants. We gotta create more black owned restaurants. So I've already been thinking about doing something like that. We're going to have the infrastructure, the technology to partner with one of these companies. Of course, it won't be Tri Otter. That's the ex-owner of Uber Eats. He owns that. But we'll partner with someone else that does it, and we'll be able to do the same thing.
What's Tri Otter?
Tri Otter is, so what it does is it consolidates all of the delivery platforms into one. So basically, if you got, you know, 5-6 tablets and you want to have it on one tablet, that's what it does for you. Okay. You can accept all the delivery orders on one tablet. So that's where a lot of the ghost kitchens use because, you know, the ex-owner Uber, he kind of, you know, he owned that company. He set it up that way where, you know, they partner with Tri Otter. Yeah. I think he owns that too. And then, you know, it's just really convenient.
So you'll see Uber, Postmates, and you'll see Black and Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
And you can say that
Two months. Yeah, two months you'll see Black and Mobile on Tri Otter. You'll see us on Square. And then about 3 to 4 months, you'll see us on Toast and Chowly. Chowly is the same thing as Tri Otter, just, you know, competition.
So, okay. So, yeah. So what are your thoughts on the space moving forward? Because I feel like this is one of these things that's only going to get bigger and bigger because people used to always order from, if you think about it, it's like, it's very similar to Uber. Like before you had to call a cab and nobody called cabs anymore. Everybody just called Ubers or Lyft.
Yep, Lyft.
And before you called the delivery, like you get like those pamphlets and you call like
call
pizza
the number and all that stuff.
You know what I mean? Like you call, but
Pizza's
now.
Pizza's been huge for years in the 80s, 70s, it's been huge. So.
Yeah, but now nobody does that. Everybody's just Uber Eats, Grubhub. Black and Mobile. So you feel this is just going to continue to get bigger and bigger? And what's the next evolution?
I mean, from what we've seen, it's only been getting bigger and bigger. From 25,000 to 500,000, our goal is to at least hit 1 million this year. So I don't see food delivery going anywhere. Like Aaron was saying, we can go into different markets. So we can go into clothing. We can go into grocery. We can do all that stuff. But it's first mastering the food delivery and getting the system down right and then expanding from there. But, you know, I don't see this industry going anywhere. Like you said, it's only growing and people are not going outside as much. And I'm the type of person where I'd rather order delivery than go out.
Delivery is the biggest thing in the world right now. Everything is delivered. And everything. It's convenient. It's so convenient to just be at home and just get everything delivered to you. Yep. It doesn't matter what it is.
I don't see it going anywhere.
Dope. So talk about, you said that you want to take this bigger than just food.
For sure.
Yeah. What's the vision with that?
So We know food now, so we're comfortable with that. So we have to get that in order. But going to other markets won't be hard. We just have to have a mechanism to just protect ourselves and protect the customers and the restaurants from things being stolen. Or not restaurants, the businesses from things being stolen. You know, just making sure that is safe. But
Amazon delivers everything. Yeah, so we can deliver everything. Of course, we're not going to be, you know, getting into things like Amazon. It'll really be like stuff that we can deliver. Like I said, groceries and some clothing items. But I mean, why not? You know, why not deliver everything that we can?
To have a black-owned, just, it's like
marketplace.
The headquarters for just get your,
like, partner with someone like We Buy Black. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know
She's
Black.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I don't know because I haven't asked for an update on the grocery store, but when it does happen, because I know it's going to happen, something like that where we can partner with, you know, that's an ideal situation. But just being able to deliver everything, like partner with We Buy Black, for example, and delivering everything, that's ideal. Just being able to deliver everything.
And it'll be all black businesses.
All black businesses.
And y'all, so y'all got the app. Obviously, it's a brand, and now you got into the merchandising as well. And so is that something, because I know that you guys started designing the shirts and everything. Is that something that, like, we're trying
to do? I started
off
small, really. We wasn't really trying to sell it to nobody. We were just doing it because we wanted to wear it. You know, we had to get our own identity. So we just started, you know, getting a logo together, and we put our own thing together. But, you know, we sell shirts now, you know, not as much as, you know, we don't really promote that we're selling shirts and bags. Like, it's really for the drivers. Yeah. That's kind of who we promoted to more. But, you know, we got some merchandise.
How is funding? Have you guys self-funded all this yourself?
Yeah, self-funded. So we've had some loans from Shopify. You know, Shopify does like the Shopify capital. So we've done that.
Talk about that. People might not know what that is.
Yeah, Shopify, listen, I love Shopify. Before OnFleet, that is the number one saver of the business. That's the reason why I'm here, because I taught myself Shopify by reading the Help Center. I went to the Help Center and said, I don't know how to design a website. I don't know anything about e-commerce, but I'm going to learn it. So anyone that's getting e-commerce, Wix and all that stuff, it's all cool. But if you really want to like do some real stuff, use Shopify. That's just what I recommend. Of course, you know, this Square, but Shopify is like, it's just beautiful. You can make an app on there. You can teach yourself everything. Everything is just organized with the orders. So I definitely recommend Shopify to anyone that is trying to start a business, because it's just beautiful.
Do you remember the initial loan you had to take out to start the business?
I didn't take any loan out. I started doing everything with my own
money. Oh, all money. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was delivering food just for Caviar, and I started it that way.
Yeah, Shopify, like once you reach a certain threshold income, then they'll give you a loan.
Exactly. Yeah, so they give you a loan. You could pay like, you know, 12, 13, 15, 17%, and that's literally what I did. You know, it went from like 5,000 to 10,000 to 60,000. So it just kept growing from there. You know, of course, you got to pay it back.
Right, right, right.
And then take it out of your daily sales. But I mean, when you're making money, it's coming in.
It helped us a lot just to survive. It helped us a lot.
Definitely.
But what'd you do with the capital? Just hire new drivers?
Well, no.
Well, you're not really hiring drivers because they're getting paid commission, right? So it's not like...
No, drivers don't get paid commission. So we use it to do marketing, but it was mostly towards app development. So that's what we use most of the money for, because, you know, they need the money up front. So that's kind of what we use literally more than half of the money. Honestly, the business bills was rack up the most. You know, to get started in the business, it was $30 to get on Shopify. And then from there, it was like $100 on fleet. So it wasn't even much to start the business, but... Those monthly bills pick up.
Technology.
Oh, yeah. As you keep growing, it picks up.
The more orders, the more it costs.
Yeah. Servers and all that stuff starts to pick up.
So, okay. Are you planning on expanding your team? Not the drivers, but the actual business team?
The two positions I want to expand on is definitely email marketing, because I'm not the best at designing stuff. Like, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, but I have to teach myself email marketing. We got like 70,000 emails and I don't know what to do because I'm not good at email marketing. So definitely that, some ads like Google ads, Facebook ads. Like I would say someone that knows that. And as of now, those are the only two positions that I would see that we would need, because I'll do everything else myself. I got my brother and my mom. So, you know, we do it all ourselves, but eventually, you know.
It's good to get out of doing it yourself, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's why we're doing the automation with the driver, so we don't have to do that no more. And literally anything we're ordering, we want to take care of. But I still want to be hands-on in the business just for a couple more years, maybe until we're in our fifth year, and then kind of delegate it, you know, just to make sure that we're going where we need to be.
So you got Philly, you got Atlanta, and New York is on the way.
Yep.
Expansion is here. You said before you weren't ready for New York.
We weren't
ready. Can you explain to the people why?
I'm the type of person where I'd rather not do business at all and then do bad business. So I knew that if we try to go to New York and just rush it, and I'm impatient, you know, I'm airing over so many, I'm energetic. I'll make a wrong decision because I'm so hyped to do it. Like, I know I can do it. And then when I fail, I'm like, shit, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, you was right, bro.
Told you.
Yeah, you was right, bro. So I was like, I knew from the rip, we're not ready for New York. It's too much, you know, like what's going on with the drivers.
There's different regulations here. Like, definitely for bike drivers, you have to have a license plate, some of them. Like, there's just a lot of regulations here. Crossing the bridges and all that.
And I want to make sure we don't mess up New York. Like going through challenges and going through all the little mess ups that you're going to go through in business, we got to learn so much. Now when we go to New York, we're going to be ready. Now when we go to LA, wherever we go, we know we're going to be ready because we know what to do to succeed. So we just want to make sure with a city like that.
And that's why I told you we didn't fail in Atlanta or Baltimore. It was a test trial, but we could have done it just a little different, but we can't, we don't know what challenges like that are going to happen.
We just know that New York, just now, of course, now we're ready now, but drivers is the main thing, you know, having drivers. Like I said, restaurants are going to sign up. New York has already been showing love. We probably already got like 10 people to sign up already. So New York has been showing love, but drivers is what's like, if we get all them orders, who's going to do it? Right. And we're not going to be out here on our bikes running four cities, you know what I mean? So it's like, we can't do
it. Y'all still on a bike.
He rides it more than me.
The bike is here?
Oh, my bike's outside.
Yeah,
he's
outside.
I said, we're going to be on the bike.
You about
to go do a bike
ride
right now.
I take my son on my bike. Bike is my lifestyle. Yeah. That's why I love it. So
I gain a little weight. I stopped on the bike. I gain a little weight.
So I didn't even know that. So when you go to different cities, New York, you need a license plate. What are some regulations?
If you have a fast bike, Aaron's bike goes 32 miles per hour.
You need to... You just have to have you have to go to the state or something. I forget exactly what it was, but I know for the other services, they make you do that. You can't deliver in New York. Yeah, so that was one of the things, we have to consider that for drivers. And then just the bridges and just, it's a different market out here. It's a much
Atlanta's spread out. You need a car out there. You don't want to be in a car out here. You know, you want to be on a bike and kind of short distance, stuff like that. So it's just a lot different.
So Brooklyn, why Brooklyn? Why is Brooklyn the first target in New York?
I think they have the most restaurants.
Brooklyn. Yeah, from what I've seen, they have the most black-owned restaurants. You know, we're going to go everywhere. We'll go to Harlem. We'll go to Queens. You know, everything's kind of near. But Brooklyn is just, a lot of people want us to come out there. You know, we know Eat Okra. I know y'all probably heard of them. Eat Okra, the directory. So I know he's out in Brooklyn. He's, you know, based out there. You know, he has a lot of restaurants. So it's just going to be easy for us to find the restaurants and partner with them.
So, and you just doing it cold calling?
I'm about to go literally after this, showing up, and we're going to hand them a flyer, introduce ourselves, and we're going to go back next week, and we're going to do the same thing. Whether we annoy them, whether, you know, they love us or not, you're going to hear us on the DM, or mom's going to DM you, we're going to email you, and we're going to show up about four times. And that's just what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, make sure you go to BK9. Tell them we
BK9.
Said
BK9.
Yeah.
I bet.
Are you?
Yeah, I think it's on my route. Yeah.
It's one of our sweet spots.
Yeah.
So wait, what's your favorite besides BK? I know what's your favorite black owned restaurant? Like, what type of food do y'all like?
My favorite black owned is Negril Lounge.
I was gonna go there last time.
Yeah, love Negril Lounge and BK9 is always.
In Brooklyn or your favorite period?
In New York. Let's just say New York.
I gotta go to BK9. That's all. They show us love, so we gotta support who supports us.
So y'all think that we're gonna help y'all find new restaurants?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt.
Shout out to Lighthouse in Harlem.
Get your crab fries. Get
the lobster fries.
Lobster fries.
That's gonna be the best thing is putting y'all on the restaurants in your own city. Yeah. We're not from here.
And so shout out to Gold Star. You know? They all have similar. The ones I said was all West Indian. So Gold Star, 219 from White Plains.
We go for more of the vegan ones. We go for a lot of vegan restaurants. Greedy Vegan. That's a good one.
That's one of the best. I love it.
There was one more, but she's not out here. She's in Atlanta now. It was Bad Girl Vegan. I don't know if you heard of her.
But I just had some vegan food in Atlanta.
Oh, man.
Shout out to my
best
man
place
Neo.
To get black owned vegan food. Atlanta.
Atlanta is the best. Where'd you go?
I'm trying to think. My man Neo put me on to it. I forgot the name of it, but it was
what kind of food did they sell?
It was like one of these things where it was like, you know, hamburgers and chili dog, fish, like the vegan. Like
all vegan.
It's all vegan.
I think y'all connected with Slutty Vegan too, right?
So we connected with them initially, him and Big Days, but kind of didn't work out the best. So we kind of just, you know,
okay.
But I'm not. It's always good to know about new restaurants. I like to go out to eat a lot, so exactly. I'm always asking people, like, you know, get different suggestions. I just went to a restaurant in Harlem. I forgot the name of it. That was a really dope. It was a French. It's a black owned French restaurant.
Wow. I gotta know the name of it.
I'm gonna look it up for you. I'll let y'all know that.
But, the thing that's unique about Black and Mobile is we find restaurants that, again, no shade to any directory out there, but the thing is, we're on the streets. We're not just using the internet. We go through, like, we'll be driving to a restaurant. We'll see, like, oh, they just opened? Or, you know, like we find new restaurants. So our list is like, we have a huge list in Philly and everywhere we go because we go through the streets and find the new restaurants. We always got restaurants opening up all the time. You know, some may close, some may open, but you always find the unique ones because they're, like, you know, smaller that no one knows about. So we're gonna put y'all on for sure. Watch.
Nah, I'm looking forward.
I'm always looking to that.
So one question, Nacho Banging, one thing he said that was an issue for him was the drivers sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, you know, they might take too long.
And they don't show up.
They take the food.
They don't show up. And he was like, ultimately, it comes back to the restaurant.
It always does. Always.
But
does.
Then ultimately, it comes back to the app also. So what have been some of your challenges? Have you had challenges with restaurants not
accepting the order?
Well, not even that. Every time I order from Chipotle, I never get what I order for some reason. So I don't know if it's the restaurant
or if it's the driver not picking up the right food.
No,
They're not training the people the right way. They're not reading the order. They're giving you guys the wrong food.
So have you guys had issues with drivers, restaurants? Like, what's been some of your challenges?
Yeah, we have those issues. I mean, we don't. So here's what I say about drivers. And again, we're kind of strict when it comes to the driver stuff and eating the food. We tell them straight up, if you take the food, you're fired on your first offense. We don't. We have a zero tolerance.
They, like, literally eating people's food.
We have never had that happen one time in 2 years.
They're making it an elaborate excuse of what happened.
So is there any insurance for that? Like, what do y'all do? Like, y'all offer a free meal or y'all pay for the meal?
We pay the restaurant. We have them make it again, so we got to pay for it again.
So let's talk about this for a minute. Yeah. Like, this bigger than just Black and Mobile, just the industry.
Yeah.
Why would somebody do that? Why would they take somebody's food?
They're hungry.
Yeah.
First,
they're hungry. They don't want to do the. It's too far of a delivery or. They want to get back at the company. They think that they're getting at Uber Eats or DoorDash.
Of the times is the reason. They accept an order and then it's too far for me. I don't want to go. So I'm just going to make an excuse and eat the food.
And they also don't understand that when you take the food, you're not hurting Uber Eats. They think, Uber Eats will pay for it. It's okay. No, that restaurant is suffering too. That's the reputation.
Yeah. They're not getting the money.
Like, we always tell restaurant owners, I always tell them on the phone, we represent you too. So it's not just, we're going to, you guys are on our platform and that's it. We're representing you, even our drivers. So when we deliver to a customer, even if they get their food, if they're rude to you, if they just leave it, like, everything that we do represents you.
So you got to check the driver too, though.
Say it one more time.
You got to check the driver to make
We check the drivers. Like I said, we haven't had one person eat the food.
Is there an interview process for the driver? I know y'all sit down with the restaurant owners.
So we actually call every driver too. So we have a couple of people actually that call every driver, and it ain't a long interview. It ain't like, we're asking you questions, because it's food delivery, you know what I mean? Like, all right, do you have a car, you know, stuff like that, and you know, background check, make sure your background check is clean.
Like one or two violations and you're done.
Yeah, well, one or two violations. We make you pay for the food
if we have time. Mm-hmm. I'm literally watching the map, watching what you're doing. So any little sudden moves, I'm calling you. Like, what are you doing? Why is your
app off? So again, we want to get away from that because we don't want to watch the screen all day. But like stuff like that where let's say you're taking the food, we'll make you pay for it and you get terminated. It's just kind of...
Oh, that's your pay.
Yeah, that's your pay because you're not going to get paid for the order. You took the food and you ate it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we've had issues where a driver, literally, she had to go because something happened at school with her daughter. And, you know, it was a fight and she had to go. We can't really penalize, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, she still had to pay for the food and she was willing to pay for the food. So stuff like that, we got to make sure we protect our company and, you know, and them. And anyone that doesn't want to do it, they just don't sign up. Because we put all the rules out there. It ain't like a hidden thing. We're like, oh, we're going to take your money now. So we put it in the agreement when you sign and when you sign up, these are our rules.
It hasn't happened often, though. Not much.
What about if it's a black-owned franchise, like if it's a black-owned franchisee owner? Like somebody owns 10 McDonald's.
Yeah.
They're black. Does that qualify?
Yeah, for sure. We love that.
And that's how I feel about that. Like there's certain restaurants that we can do it with, but I would prefer not to. Because okay. I kind of am what you're selling too sometimes. Like, I don't want to promote McDonald's. I don't care if you own a McDonald's. I don't want to sell that to people. I don't want to give that to people. That's how I feel, but business is business.
I'm on the other side. Ain't doing all that.
We know that's 20 orders coming from McDonald's on a Friday night.
If you got 10 McDonald's and you want to sign up and you're black, you can definitely sign up with me. Now, the unfortunate thing is a lot of our restaurants, we don't really have chains. You know, we're not like a McDonald's. You don't see too many of that. But that's a benefit for us because when we sign restaurants up, you're not competing against McDonald's and Popeyes, all these people that are going off what we did and then, you know, selling it and stuff like that. You're going against other black owned restaurants, but we try to make a non-competitive thing where it's like, you're selling your thing. Even if y'all selling soul food, y'all make it y'all way. And that's it. Cause we have some restaurants who act like it's a competition. It's like, this is not a competition. We're all circling our dollar. Like for example, there may be a big restaurant and they got a lot of traffic, but someone may come looking for that restaurant and find another smaller restaurant and that menu looks better to them.
And it's close.
Like that's how it all works where everyone's connected. And everyone's getting support, whether that's through traffic or actual dollars.
Did you ever think about taking equity in some of these startup restaurants? Right? Because if they're starting up and they're coming off of your name you support them? No.
We want you to come up. So okay. I don't really, like, again, no one, people try to do that to me and I ain't let them, but I want you to come up. Like, I literally helped a restaurant from Baltimore. They were from Baltimore. They moved to Philly.
Yeah.
No followers. No one knew them or anything like that. But they were big in Baltimore. They got over 10,000 followers now. Like they thank us for helping them get traffic. Like when they open for 3 days out of the week, they're busy every day. So we want to see that because in return, again, some of the nicest people I met, but they don't even want to accept our money there. Like they just eat for free, and we don't want to do that. We still support, but it's like I like seeing businesses come up. That's what we should be doing. That's why, I want to open up a ghost kitchen situation where we're helping create new black-owned businesses. That is the way for us to be. To get out of what we're in. At the end of the day, it all comes down to economics. We're in survival, and the only way for us to do that is, of course, patronizing our businesses, but economics. That's going to be the start of everything.
100%. E40 has a Filipino restaurant. You would think that would be kind of weird.
That's unique.
Yeah. So what's the thing that, are there any restaurant on your platform that you wouldn't expect a black person to own?
Yeah, Japanese store. It was one in Detroit where they were like selling hibachi. And I'm like, here was the crazy thing to me. There was no black people in there working almost. Like none of the chefs were like, it was like, y'all really doing it. Like y'all ain't got, you know, they had black people working for them, but it was like the chefs, it was just like, it looked like a Japanese store. You would not know it was black owned. So that is impressive. They were on the platform before, but they're waiting on an integration with like, you know, Square and Toast. The Better Box, they're black owned. They sell all Chinese food. Amazing. Like stuff like that where it was like, it's just, you know, we can make everything.
I went to a Chinese vegan restaurant in Manhattan. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Listen, anything vegan is amazing. I love vegan food.
And when you just said that, I thought about this cupcake spot I went to. It was in Scarsdale, New York. So it's an affluent white neighborhood.
Okay.
And when you go in, it's like white teenagers working there.
Yeah.
And then I went to Bloomingdale's and they had these taste testers. I'm like, what is this? They were like small cakes. I'm like, who owns this? I want to get a kid an internship. And it was a black man and a woman. They're like, that's our shop. We own it. Yo. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. I need an internship here.
That French black-owned restaurant, I really want to know about that.
I'm going to let you know the name of it.
And a major thing, you know, it's cool. Like, I always say there's multiple ways to support black business. Everyone knows, all right, you can spend your dollar with them. You can share them on social media, all that stuff. The best way to support a black business is working for them. We work for everyone else. Mm-hmm. But we don't put that same energy. I'm not saying all of us, but we don't put that same energy into working for other black people. 100%. That's the number one 100%. Way. And I'm not just saying that because we need drivers. I'm saying that because I'm seeing restaurants go out of business and having a worker shortage and all that stuff. Like, they're hiring all the time. It's like, we got to work for our business. Is that something? We got to work 100%. For them. If we're not going to support them and, you know, patronize them, working for them, whatever we can do, but that's just how we have to, you know, just win economically.
Are there any, shout out to Derek Falcon, another restaurant owner from Baltimore. He said that his formula is 7 items on a menu because you don't want to have too many items. So from you, from your perspective, what separates the restaurants that are successful and the restaurants that are not successful?
I actually agree with that. Like, if you're selling 150 items, I'm not looking through that menu. I'm going through what I know normally, and I'm going to just get that. So I agree that the shorter the menu, 7 is a little low, but again, it works for some people. If you know you make that really good, make it. So I think that what separates, and we're talking about delivery, food delivery, what separates the successful ones on Black and Mobile and the ones that don't do as well is really how much time they put into it, like putting good images of the food. People want to, they don't want to see a logo. They don't want to see just a blank image. They want to see what the food looked like. They eat with their eyes first. So when they go to the app, like, oh, damn, that looked good. Like, oh, I want to order that now. So that's the first thing they do.
Telling the people about Black and Mobile, those restaurants that we've had, it's like Black and Mobile don't exist, but we're partnering with you.
But Uber Eats exists and all, like, exactly. It's like, we're like the low key under the table one. It's like, you know, like, so if you want to be successful, you got to let people know that, you know, you're on Black and Mobile, but it's really just about the presentation and how you look on the app. And that's any food delivery service. If you got good images on there and the prices are right and, you know, you're not going up 40% on the pricing, you know, that's just how you be successful.
It's not delivery. Every time, but a lot of times your food just has to be good. Like, there's going to be restaurants that you're just not making good food and no one's going to order from you, unfortunately.
Listen, I've tried some bad food before, you know. I ain't saying no names, but just how it is, you know. Yeah. Everybody, you know, don't cook the same.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Better than child support.
I appreciate y'all, brothers, man. Troy, any other questions for them?
Nah, man. Everything you're saying is the epitome of what we're doing. So I'm glad to see two young brothers, literally brothers, on a mission that's similar to what we're doing. We're trying to highlight black businesses, and y'all are doing it in the field that we love the most, man. Black people, we love our food.
That's the best. We love our food. I appreciate y'all for having us on, man. Yeah, seriously, man. Like I said, I knew about y'all for a while now, and I told myself we're going to get on there. So I'm glad that my brother joined me because he's always so nervous. But, you know, again, I appreciate y'all. And like I said, we're going to deliver to y'all personally when we open up. And whatever restaurant y'all want, let us know.
And we're going to get a picture of this bike when we go outside. Hey.
For sure. I was actually about to ask that. Let's get a picture together.
Sure. Yeah. What would you like to leave the people with? Tell them your social media, website, app, all of that stuff.
Yeah, so you can find us. We're big on Instagram, but you could just Google Black and Mobile. But on Instagram, it's Black and Mobile, Twitter, Black and Mobile, everything Black and Mobile. You can download our app to support. Like I said, we're coming to Brooklyn in August, probably the first or second week of August. We'll be in LA this year. We'll be in Houston this year. The next year, I mean, we're going to be in at least 10 more cities. So just download the app and just, you know, follow our journey.
Yeah. You know what? I do have one more. So that is here in the United States. But I know we have a bigger vision to touch the continent.
For sure.
You talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely want to get to like places like Haiti. And we want to get to Africa, whether that is South Africa, whether that is Ghana. You know, everyone's accepting of black Americans out there. And I mean, we need to be, honestly, my real goal is to try to get some people back to Africa and make sure we all can work together. But wherever we are, you know, as long as we work together, giving up, you know, some of my profits to some of these places. You know, we have to really do a lot of work. It's not just about food delivery at this point. Like, that's the business, but we really got to do a lot of more work with schools and hospitals. Like, we're the hospitals we own. It's just so much that goes into what I'm doing this for. So that's the real.
Yeah, I could imagine when you go to a country where it's predominantly black.
And we don't own nothing out there. It's like, you know, that's, so that's just making real change like that. Like, not just food delivery, that's minor. I want to make real change. I want to have my own airlines. I want to be able to move black people wherever we want to and circulate the dollar. It has to circulate more than 15 times. Because that's what we was doing before. So that's the ultimate goal. But it's all going to start with food delivery.
For sure.
I appreciate Powerful. It. I appreciate sure. it, man. Much continued success to you, brothers.
Appreciate
man.
It. Appreciate you guys.
Glad we got a chance to get this done. Make sure you support the app and support everything that they have going on. Great energy. And I'm looking forward to see your journey in the next couple of years.
For appreciate sure. that, man. For real. Thank you.
Support sure. black businesses.
That's it.
As Nacho says, black support's better than
child support. It's a banger for real.
Nacho banger, man. Troy, housekeeping item?
Yeah, shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Our Proud to Pay program. Obviously, tier 5 members, you have access to EYL University, the number one place for everything in the world of business. Everything, man. We shout out to all the 9,000 plus earners out of there. And shout out to everybody that's supporting the merch. We got some summer items out there, y'all. We got some summer items there, y'all. I told you, it's earning season. It's always been. It's always our season, y'all. So appreciate y'all wholeheartedly.
Yes, yes. Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you. All right, guys. Appreciate it, man.
Oh, we'll do it. We'll do it. Yeah, yeah.
My graduates from my school... being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.